Just continue on with Kaya Vinyati and Vachin Vinyati. When we breathe, there is the noise that comes with our breathing in and out, and that is conditioned by utu, right? But when one is trying to make it like more apparent at that moment, it's Kaya Vinyati.
When it moves.
Yes. So it's more Kaya Vinyati then. Okay.
You put about the noise, right?
Yes, through the noise, like something like that.
Yeah.
Just to make it more apparent.
Can it be done without it then?
No.
Because it doesn't matter what rupa appears, a sound, a movement. Mm-hmm. It's the intention, the citta, which just want the kaya to be like that, as it wants.
But when there's this intention to speak or to make a sound,
because citta would like it to be like that, mm-hmm. and it's according, it move or no matter it does move or not, it's that rupa which is conditioned by cetana to have it that way, like okay. stare or gaze or something like mm-hmm. that.
Okay. So conditioned by cetana, that is for sure, but I find the line between kaya vinyati and vachi vinyati sometimes a little
no sound,
bit.
When there's no sound,
yes.
it cannot be vachi vinyati.
But if we make it like with the sound, like...
Is there sound? Is there sound?
There is sound.
Uh-huh. But no words?
No words.
Only just want to move in order to have such sound arise.
Mm-hmm. So it has to be kaya vinyati.
Because citta would like the body to move in order to have such sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like the example of the hands clapping this morning.
Mm-hmm. But what about the mouth moving in order to make some kind of sound?
What's the intention?
The intention is to produce sound. But even when you try to do, is the intention also is to make sound?
To make sound or to just pull air in? Make sound or pull air in?
It can be to make sound, because when you want to see, okay, whether it's the... It's not sometimes just for the air in, just you want to see, okay, when you breathe there's a more the sound, you want to make it more apparent, you can
more sound or what,
more sound,
you just want to have the sound from
yes.
the body,
yes
movement.
Yes
mm. So the intention is the movement of the body in order to have the sound.
Mm-hmm.
So just kaya vinyati.
Just kaya vinyati. And so what is the difference when the mouth is moving, it's also
for
movement?
Just move without wanting anything? It's
move
kaya vinyati.
With the intention to make sound.
But without movement, can there be sound?
Cannot.
So at that moment, there is intention to move in order to have sound.
Mm-hmm. But then in that case, like when I'm speaking now, it's vachi vinyati.
Vinyati, because the citta would like the sound to have the meaning of intention.
Mm-hmm.
What about someone suddenly loses his voice and he tries to speak, but no sound comes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There must be vachi vinyati.
No sound. You try to make it to have the body movement to have sound. Different from would you like to say something. You don't think about movement, but you just want to speak out.
Yes, and then because of some condition, no voice.
It doesn't matter.
There's the intention to say something.
It doesn't matter.
So it's no vinyati, vachi vinyati.
Is there any intention?
There is.
There is, and can the body move?
The body moves.
So that it's according to intention. It moves according to intention.
And
without intention, it doesn't move.
So is it vachi vinyati there?
Do we have to call it anything? Because I think that as one tries very hard to know, it's ignorance which cannot know. And at that moment, what can be object of understanding? Whatever by awareness, not by anyone's intention at all.
Okay, I think that makes sense. Like, what precisely the intentions? Trying to make a movement or trying to speak out and convey a meaning.
And if one tries to speak and nothing comes out, then it can't, it's not vachi, because nothing is, there's no sound at all.
Vachi, vinyati cannot arise without sound. It has to arise with sound, right?
With sound.
With sound, otherwise it's not vachi.
With sound or followed by sound, because with, that's one rupa, sound is another rupa.
With sound.
With sound.
Because the citta conditions the sound at that moment, that is what vachi vinyati is.
How many rupas in that kalapa, see? It's not just vachi vinyati, and it's not just sound, but both are there.
But both must arise together.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to help anyone to understand this point? Or would you like to understand your own? Yeah. Can one understand every word of the teachings?
When one is speaking, even though the mouth is moving, but because of the intention is to produce sound of the words, so the intention is not about the movement of the mouth, so then in that case it's vachi vinyati.
Yeah, at this moment, so many realities arising and falling away, uncountable. So if you just want to understand that, what about the other moment mixed in? Yeah. So is it right if anyone try to experience the kaya vinyati and vachi vinyati? And in Thailand, some would say that in because of the sitting position, they cannot find the absolute reality of what the body is. They say that it's vikara rupa or vinyati rupa, see? So it's impossible because there is no understanding of hardness and softness. So how can there be the understanding of the vikara or rupa of that for primary rupas? Right now, shall we try to understand the vachi vinyati as object of right understanding? Because even the four primary rupas are not object yet to be as no self though.
They also asabhava rupa.
I have a question about the masculinity and masculinity and rupa, because it cannot be known by only in thinking and very high level panya. But I think there must be something for us to distinguish between the man and woman. Is from what reality is because
I think from the look.
Yeah, from the look, but
visible object.
The visible object. Each visible object is different, conditioned by the other rupas that arise with it. So then there are, because different features, different shapes from the visible object, different signs, and then thinking about different ideas.
Yeah, it just kind of, I understand it just kind of memories that, like, usually Marxist is a woman's usually have kind of certain kind of gesture, like a soft or slow or gracefully, but men may be strong in other way. But it just from the thinking and memory.
But what about the visible object?
Like now, when seeing sees this visible object or this visible object, the visible object that conditions that leads to the thinking about different shapes, form, leading to different ideas right from the beginning, each visible object is not the same.
Yes, but like in order to classify these visible objects and these visible objects, so there's like a difference between.
It's just like how do we come to think about table and microphone? It's just the same because so many different visible objects seen, so many sounds heard, so many hardnesses, softnesses touched, and sanya marking each one, conditioning different thinking about different objects. It's just the same.
Yeah, and so it means also what we take for man and woman, also just from thinking and just from memory, right? Like
from thinking and memory on account of the different realities experienced, like you go outside and you've never met the people, but immediately you have an idea, this is man, this is woman, because different visible objects, different sounds experienced.
Yes, so from the visible objects, we cannot say that this is man or woman exactly from their original sex, right? Like some people may have the appearance of the woman, but we're not sure about they are masculine or feminine.
Or we can say, just like with table and chair, maybe sometimes we see something and we're not sure if it's a table or a chair, but all we can say is visible objects are seen, sounds heard, and there's thinking about different shapes, different forms, different tones, different sounds, conditioning, thinking about men, women, chairs, tables, and sometimes we may get it wrong. Sometimes we may see someone and we have the idea it's a man and it turns out it's a woman because of the thinking of the visible objects and thinking of the sounds is not the right one, conventionally speaking. But it all comes back to the visible objects and the sounds.
Yes, I understand different visible objects have different characteristics that one can recognize this from that. But in the case of the masculinity and femininity, I don't know whether it has some functions to make someone recognize this is man or this is woman.
Conditioned all through life, conditioned by karma, which are the masculinity group of rupas or the femininity group of rupas, that particular kalapa of rupas arising continuously throughout life, conditioned by karma from the very first moment of life. And this is the reason why the visible object is different, the sound is different, and why there come to be these different ideas. This is why the shapes and forms are different. So from the first moment of life, there is that group of rupas, but it cannot be seen or it cannot be heard. It's because they are subtle rupas.
So if someone like who transformed from man to woman, but in that case we cannot say that the original one is they are already man or woman, right? Because it's just the appearance we see and from the voice we heard, but we cannot know what is the original one since that person was born. Right?
That's why I say sometimes one speculates or has an idea, but actually in terms of Paramatta Dharmas, it all depends on those particular groups of rupa. And so when the visible object is seen or the sound is heard, some men may have a very high-pitched voice or some women may have a very low voice, deep voice. So when one hears it, one may think mistakenly that's all, but actually the rupas are the same, are the rupas conditioned in that way.
And I think, it's not just visible object and voice and mannerisms. There's also mannerism, and the fact that you cannot be sure about, say, a man who's dressed up like a woman, whether that's a man or woman, at least you can acknowledge that he must have had to change a lot to look like a woman, means that that's not him naturally, right? So there is a difference. That's why he has to change the way he looks, the way he walks, the way he moves.
Sorry, I cannot catch
So there, because there is a difference between man and a woman, a man who wants to look like a woman, he has to do a lot of things to appear like that. So that actually shows that there is a difference that normally will come out through visible object and through speech, through...
Yes, I understand there must be the difference, but I like just confused about what kind of realities. Is that an Sara explained it, or usually when someone was born is with a group of kalapas and already the genders, rupas already is there?
And usually through life, that same kind of kalapa with that same sex is conditioned by the karma throughout life, but there are exceptions, or one or two exceptions in the texts about someone changing from man to female and back. Nothing is impossible, so it just depends on karma to produce what group of rupas at what time.
And also medically, it's not always possible for the sex of a baby to be determined at birth. So sometimes you have to make a choice one way or the other, and then the child is brought up as one or the other.
And they sometimes change too.
And they can change, because that particular factor is conditioned by karma.
So usually the masculinity or femininity, which is the kamacharupa, is determined at the moment of rebirth, right? Usually.
Well, it's determined at every moment because it's a result of karma, past karma. So
it's possible also that during the course of one's life that...
I believe it is. I don't think there's any rule that it can't be changed.
Can anyone experience the satarupas?
Well, for that change, that's what, well, I guess I'm asking, making an assumption, that's what transgender people go through, the changing of the gender, that's bad conditions and karma.
That's a conventional
idea of changing. It doesn't mean that the sex kalapa has changed from one sex to another. I was thinking of an example, and either Kunsuchin or Sundra will remind me about the man, I forget if he was a monk or not a monk, who changed into a woman and then back again to a man. Can you remember the example?
I remember the name, Surya.
Surya, yes. And I forget the reason he was dreaming of being a woman or something like that.
The man saw Maha Kachana, who was very beautiful looking, and he said, I wish that man was my wife. I wish it was a woman and was my wife. And he turned into a woman. And then she went, apologized to Maha Kachana and changed back into a man again.
In that lifetime,
he changed back. Yes, so in that lifetime, he changed from male to female to male.
Yes.
So, different kalapas of rupa of different sex condition during the life. Very exceptional case.
Yeah.
But when someone has sex change, it's just pure speculation. One can't say.
I may be getting confused with the stories, but I think in between changing to woman and changing back as a woman, she married and bore children.
Yes, long time ago.
Lots of holidays.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult subject, but I think that the rupa, which is masculinity or femininity, must be much more subtler than just mannerism, or you know, like the voice and the look, because you can see that, like the video you show, the men who are singing exactly like women. So it's just, it must be.
We're surprised because normally men don't have that kind of voice.
Right.
So we associate that kind of voice to with women.
Right.
And for a reason.
Mm-hmm. So what is really, it's much deeper than that.
That is moments of thinking about people.
Yes, when one appreciates they're just different elements, just conditioned in different ways at each moment by karma and other conditions, then nothing is so surprising.
It indicates that the complication of all dharmas are there, like why the appearance is marked as man or woman because of the sex reality, the purusha power and the itini power. But it cannot be known because you see that what can appear in daily life is only are only seven rupas through five doorways, only that. But what appears are much different because of the complexity of the rupa, like femininity or masculinity, when it look different for sanya to mark and remember, but it's not exact understanding of that which conditions such look, like femininity or masculinity. But we think much about it, which it cannot be known because the subtle rupa cannot be object of daily experience. Like Apotatu, see, talk about it, but it cannot be experienced in daily life like the seven rupas. But they are different because of the rupas which condition it. How many in a kalapa and how many kalapas are there? Like the hair, see? Femininity or masculinity? Conditioned by what? See? Can it be known by just look? But one knows that they are different because of different rupas.
So even though the visible object is all that is seen, the visible object of what we call a person, the one arising in the kalapa conditioned by karma at that moment is conditioned by the sex rupa, even though it's not seen, but that rupa, the visible object, is conditioned by the other rupas that it arises with.
What about boy doll and girl doll? Only eight rupas. What's the idea of boy or girl? If you see a Barbie doll,
you know it's a girl doll.
Yes.
Even though the kalapas that make up that Barbie doll, just the ones in conditioned by temperature, only eight rupas, no set masculinity, femininity, no life faculty.
Sarah, I think it's you who just said it, and maybe you can say more. The what we see, what is the visible object that we take as girl, femininity in a being, is made up. You said something about it. I'm not sure exactly what you said, but I was confused because I got the impression that there was, because of femininity, there is a different appearance to a girl from a boy, although they're both just seen. Seeing just sees visible object. Can you talk about that a bit more?
So we know the visible object that's seen arises in a kalapa of at least eight rupas, and it's conditioned by the other rupas that arises together with it. But if it's in a group that, of rupas that is conditioned by karma, so if it's the visible object that's conditioned by karma that's seen, well then in addition there has to be jivitindriya at that moment, and minimum of 9 rupas at that moment. And if it's a group of rupas that includes sex, then must be at least 10 rupas at that moment, have to be at least 10 at that moment. And so even though visible object is the only rupa that's seen, the sex rupa is subtle rupa that can only be experienced through the mind by high understanding, but still it is conditioning the other rupas that it arises together with in a kalapa.
And that's how we can tell the difference between male and female and a person and a table. The jivitindriya as part of the kalapa is what would distinguish it. Not that seeing sees a table, seeing only sees what can be seen, but the thinking and the processes that follow that, that lead us to conclude one's a table and the other's a human being, are different because of the rupas in the kalapa. Is that right?
And the example sometimes given by Jan is the difference between a live person and a corpse. Both are rupas, but one set of rupas is conditioned by karma and arises with the jivitindriya rupa.
But the look is almost the same. Yeah. Because we mark the shape and form of that which is seen as something all the time. And remember that this shape and form is man and this shape and form is woman. And that shape is bag.
Just like the hardness here and the hardness here, almost the same, but actually one knows that this hardness is a little different because of jivitindriya, yeah, compared to this one.
Can jivitindriya be object in daily life?
No.
So like sex rupas, it's a subtle rupa that isn't known, but it's also conditions other rupas that it arises together with.
Alberto, shall we
bring up the topic of sati, S-A-T-T-I? Would you like to? The force of conditions. In Vietnam, we were talking about the sati, the force of conditions, and Alberto was interested in this topic and did some research and has one or two points to raise.
The question was if the utu in the rupa has got sati to condition other kalapas by utuja rupa.
Can the rupa be the sati? Aspect.
So
by this word can we understand just as simple as pajya? Sati is pajya, right?
So if we say sati is just pajya, then we can talk about the sati of rupas, or
can rupa have the sati of pajya too?
Oja.
The rupa, all kinds of rupa, they cannot experience anything at all. So do they have the quality of being sati too?
Since they are pachaya for other
rupa, yes.
So we don't know yet whether it's only nama or includes rupa for sati.
Okay.
The ahara pachaya, it's the ocha nutriment, that is the conditioning factor.
By sati or by what? Being sati or by being what? Because we don't know the Pali term enough to know whether it's only for nama or includes rupa too. That's why if we can know that, we can see. Because we use the word pajya, because aramana can be pajya, and nama, rupa, can be pajya, but by different pajya, being different pajya. So whether by having such condition can be said as sati or not, or just only there.
And if it refers to any pachya, then even panyati as aramana pachya would be included. So that's the question. And Alberto looked at one text in the commentary to the Brahmajala Sutta about sati. I don't know if it showed anything.
I think you said it seemed to suggest
that sati, yeah, or no. Pachya have sati, is that right?
I don't remember the words, but that's what my impression. He was talking about pachya. Yeah, that sati is the force that caused the pachyupanna to arise. The pachyupanna to arise. That was the definition of sati. The pachaya, which conditions the arising of the pachayupanna.
By the sati.
By the force, by the sati.
The force, yeah. The
of also rupa?
Yeah,
that's why we have to find out whether it's limited or unlimited.
Because I think if it just talks generally of about the sati of the pachaya, but it's not clear whether it includes all pachya or all dharmas or just some.
For example, at moment of rupa is object. Does it have any power of sati to condition seeing? But it can be just aramana pachya.
Are you talking about
aramana
pachya? Sati, S-A-T-T-I, not the...
S-A-T-T-I.
Because I was totally confused for a moment. It made no sense at all.
At the very beginning, I said
S-A-T-T-I. Oh, you said the sati, the force.
Question is because we
read in the text about the sati, S-A-T-T-I, of pachya to condition the pachyapana. So the question is that we were discussing was just whether it only refers to namas that have a sati that conditions pachyapana, or whether rupas can be said to have a sati, and also when concepts are the pachya, as in aramana pachya, whether even they can be said to have a sati, which seems a little strange. And Alberto was interested in
because of the word, so there's doubt about whether rupa can be sati, like the fire can burn. See, we don't know whether that is the meaning of sati or not. But no intention to burn. But it's characteristic and its qualification that it burns.
It has that quality that
yes.
has its effect that conditions. Mm-hmm. So does
rupa condition rupa? Rupa
can condition rupa.
And rupa can condition nama. Like when hardness arises, it conditions the other rupas in the kalapa it arises with. And hardness is also conditioned for body consciousness when it has arisen. So hardness can condition rupa and it can condition nama.
As I understood, from the text, from the book, Conditional Relations. It's just the conditional force, nothing else, nothing special. And I was not thinking of concepts, but just for realities. So nothing special really, it's the conditioning force.
But I think, for example, in that introduction, he talks about the conditioning force of all paccaya. Yes. So what about aramana paccaya?
Yes.
So any conditioning force in aramana paccaya or not, or paccaya or some exceptions.
Yes.
Or it has in itself such quality, we don't know.
It all depends on the fine
meaning. Because we don't know the broad meaning of sati. Yeah.
And we were, just before the discussion, we were looking up the Pali for those three kinds of akasa mentioned in the Katawatu that we were looking at, and the first one was the Paricheda akasa, and the second one seemed to be referring to the kasina, the object of the kasina, and the third one, it mentioned the word ajatakasa. Do you know what ajatakasa?
Yes, space.
Open space.
Yeah. Like universe.
So when we talk about the ajatakasa, like sky or universe,
yeah,
so then it's
are there in the akasa
or something. Yeah. So then that is like a concept, an idea, not the reality.
Like look at the sky, see nothing but akasa, and that is ajatakasa.
Right, and so that is not what we're referring to as the open space, or it
yes,
is. It is
unconditioned.
The unconditioned one.
Okay.
And sometimes it talks about whole in the nostril and in the body and the ear.
So this is the unconditioned one. Yeah. But the question is why in that text, in the Katawatu, it says that this one is a concept. Because is it because that's what they're just talking about, a concept of the unconditioned space? Or any reason they refer to this one as a concept?
It's only idea.
Just an idea about it. So not the reality that is known.
No.
I still don't understand how anything can go through between the kalapas to the Paricheda Rupas.
Because you see that by superpower, even Deva can, transfer or into just like dust. See?
Can go through a keyhole.
That's different. That's going through the other space.
Because
space rises and falls away with the kalapa, right? That Paricheda Rupa rises and falls away. So what does it mean for something, some other Rupa to go through it? Means what?
Can someone get through the hole?
Yeah, but that's not Paricheda Rupa.
Without Paricheda Rupa, no hole to go through.
Without Paricheda Rupa, there's no Rupa. There's no Kalapa. And all Kalapas rise and fall
but
away instantly.
Are there spaces in between Kalapa?
Yes, and the space fall away when the Kalapas fall away.
All the time. So the Rupa which can get through that. Akasa.
So at that time, it's not Paricheda Rupa, because it's not...
It doesn't matter what, but by superpower, it can be to change, to make it that by citta of that degree. The Deva can do many things. can the needle go through the skin?
Yes, but that's going through...
The deva can make such superpower. We don't talk about that. We just talk about going through.
We're talking about the very fine
space separating the paricheda rupas that it can go through.
However fine, like a deva could go through.
What rupas? Because the paricheda rupa falls away immediately. Right?
So with
the kalapas.
You mean that there is no hole at all when it falls away?
That hole is the unconditioned space.
It doesn't matter as long as it's there. Otherwise, how can one dive or go down to earth by superpower, walk on the water?
To the other space, not the parishad.
We don't think about space, we think just possibility of rupa can be conditioned by such strong citta to be different from usual.
And you don't have to find the
fine line between paricheda akasa and open akasa, like one knows in the cavity in the nostril there is open space, but this super power can go even through where there are the kalapas of the nose and the space in between.
Can you break it up and go through it and then make it like usual before by superpower?
How about people swimming in the water, diving in the water?
About the human can swim the water and dive in the water. It's the same things. That's the superpower.
My explanation is the other space, not parasitic space.
Remind me which one is parasitic space.
Parasitic space is the conditioned space
between the kalapas. Okay. In that example, it's
not going, because it's just going through open space, and if there was no open space, one couldn't dive through the water. But with superpower or deva power, even the where there are groups of kalapas of rupas can go through, like go through the door.
But I think when we talk about we going into water or something, it's like already the idea of a body from top to toe.
There must be a reality.
Yes. So the dimension of those right realities we don't know. So you're just talking about from our dimension now, and it cannot fit into the realities.
Could Buddha do that?
Go through space?
Move through a door anywhere?
Yes.
Go down to other realms, go to...
Yes, but not through paricheda rupas.
Because it's...
We don't think...
Is the meaning of paricheda rupas a different meaning?
We don't talk about that which keeps on arising and falling away.
That's what I'm talking about.
We talk about whatever situation is there. If Buddha could, why not the other?
It just in a flash, not having to
avoid the groups of paricheda rupas.
It's not an obstacle.
We don't need to avoid. We can move. Not avoiding, just conditions. But this...
No obstacle at all. No obstacle
at all.
Like here.
No, what about like from here to Hong Kong in a flash? No obstacle of paricheda rupas or anything. No need to walk around the house.
Rupas are not obstacles. I'm not saying that they are obstacles. But the meaning is that they rise and fall away because of the kalapas rising and falling away. Right? So that means when the kalapas fall away, the parisara rupas also fall away. So what does it mean for something to go through that which has fallen away and it's not what it is?
Because like the kalapas of the body, they're continually new groups of kalapas, so even though each kalapa has fallen away, still I can't put my finger through my leg, because even though the kalapas of the leg are falling away all the time and the space is also falling away, still there is an obstruction, the finger cannot go through because there are always groups of kalapas. But if it's the psychic power of the Buddha or someone, no obstacle at all.
Yeah, but any rupa going through would take much longer time than the rising and falling away of a rupa.
Why?
Because the rising and falling away, because it takes a rupa.
What about Buddha just went to the Brahma just and snap a finger?
And he went through the parisada rupas.
No need to think about, just no
obstacle can go anywhere through anything. Yeah, can go through the leg and the walls and just anything.
Because it's of the psychic power.
So Ken is not saying he can't go through the wall, but it's just a question of how that's achieved.
Develop jhana to that degree of it can condition superpower. Yeah.
Anything is possible. Yeah. You'll go back to a meditation. Not a good reason to develop jhana.
Come back and tell us.
What was your comment about meditation now?
As I said, too much, then he'll go back to meditation.
How will meditation help him to attain jhana?
Because meditation would be the way to go in the opposite direction of attaining jhana,
because it's not any understanding or development of samatha at all.
It shows that no one can understand every word of the teachings. If we try, it's useless. It's beyond our accumulation. Is that the delirious thinking?
Yes, it is. And what are the conditions for
developing samatha? Developing samatha. Right up to jhana, what are the conditions? Has to be panya, yeah. Has to be panya of understanding what calmness is and what the object is and how it can condition calm. The opposite of what people usually think.
Anything more from the sutta?
No. There were those two points about relating to the livelihood and what chaga was, and Ajahn was saying that chaga really essentially, what I understood, we often think it in the sense of liberality, but it's also about renouncing the present moment too, not so much as just, it's giving up, letting go. So when we read in the suttas that word chaga, it's the ability to, the understanding that can let go, which I found helpful.
We can say that when there's any kind of dana, there is
letting go or renouncing, when we talk about chaga, is it just the same as talking about dana, different kinds of dana, because it's used in particular contexts like chagano sati? Any?
So what is giving?
Giving, when I think about giving, I think about giving away of material possessions, whereas with chaga, I would think more of that concept of letting go of non-material things, or material, and the ability to get... I'm thinking more of wisdom in there. Like, when I think of dana, I'm not thinking so much of necessarily through, you know, of wisdom. I'm thinking of sharing, like two-rooted, if I can put it that way, two-rooted behavior. But when I'm thinking with chaga, I'm thinking more it's accompanied by three roots, you know, alopa, dosa, and amoha. But I'm not sure.
So it's not the action, but it's the citta.
Yes.
Which is kind and generous.
Yes.
Kusala moment at that very moment of giving.
Yes.
So kusala cannot be a kusala, no expectation at all.
At that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That is jaga, to just give away.
But can it, chaga, have that? So from what I'm hearing you say, Ajahn, that...
We used to think about parents giving things to children. Is that dana? Is it jaga? Or it's what?
Well, I would normally think of it as dana.
That's why it depends on citta only, to know whether it's kusala or akusala. When it's akusala, is it jaga? Not at all.
So, theoretically, you're saying, Ajahn, that it is possible for parents to have chaga towards their children.
When there is understanding. The difference between akusala and kusala.
Still not clear to me, though, that,
can one give with akusala?
Well, certainly.
And can one give with kusala?
Certainly.
They're different.
And
to give with kusala is jaga.
Giving with akusala.
Parents to children.
That's giving with attachment, or... But is not the giving itself kusala, but followed by moments of attachment or modified?
That's why there should be the understanding of moment of giving.
Yes.
Whether it is kusala or akusala. We cannot just say the giving is kusala.
It's like the livelihood thing.
One cannot say that at that moment, that because it comes down to the citta again. So I think dana and chaga, it's the same. It's just that moment of kusala, of giving for the other's welfare, and different kinds of giving.
This is a bit technical, but I don't know if there's a difference between dana, the giving of gifts, and chaga being the quality of, say, generosity or liberality, as it's sometimes translated. So when we talk about the quality, obviously is pure kusala. When we talk about an act of dana, it can be mixed.
But then when at the moments of our kusala, it isn't dana of any kind. I guess I'd always thought what Jonathan just said, that can be mixed. That moments of kusala mixed with moments of akusala.
But what is moment of giving, kusala or akusala?
It cannot be mixed, because dana is a chetasika.
That's right.
It's a moment of
aloba.
Arising with particular citta, conditioning... possibly conditioning particular acts at that moment.
And otherwise what you call giving is just a conventional idea, like the livelihood conventional idea. It's not actually the reality at all.
So it's not the case then that any giving, the jitta that motivates the giving, it's
what
a jitta, just, pardon?
What jitta?
Well, it would be alopa.
It is kusla then?
Yes.
So all the many moments of giving with attachment, wanting to be a good person, wanting my child to be happy, it's not giving at all.
A bribe.
Yes, a bribe, I understand. But I guess I had seen it as two different moments. The moment of giving as being kusala, and yet interspersed with moments of attachment,
later,
which is akusala later.
At the moment of giving.
Later. Not at the moment of giving.
So at the moment of giving, what citta is there? Kusala or akusala?
Kusala.
So kusala falls away and there are many moments of akusala followed.
Yes.
But the kusala cannot be the akusala.
That's right. Yeah.
So
no,
what is giving,
that.
It has to be done by
kusala citta. Has to be done by kusala citta. So it's best not to think of an act of giving at all. It's best just to think of it moment to moment.
Or a good deed being done.
Yeah,
same thing. Thinks one's doing good deeds, but actually mostly akusala citta.
Yes.
So actually the goodness is only at the moment of kusala.
Yes.
All the many moments of attachment is not good deeds.
Correct.
No matter what the appearance looks like. And just the same with sila, as we've discussed. One can be paying respect at the temple, but there may be very little kusala sila.
Yes. Okay, I see. It's what I thought. I was just not saying it that way.
That's why whatever one's discussing always has to come back to the
jitta now.
Jitta, cetasika, rupa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it's quite meaningless.
But I'll say it anyway. If there is no kusala in the... Here, take it. There is no kusala in the giving, in the act, you know.
I'm giving something to you,
okay,
but I'm
okay,
sort of going,
you.
Whoa.
No kusala, so there's no giving. It's really
right,
not
right,
giving.
Right.
It's not giving. I didn't mean to hit you, but if I'm sort of... You want your money?
But what is that action? You give something and followed by akusala moments.
I'm sorry, say that again.
At the moment of giving,
it is giving.
And
it is kusala.
Where you give is with akusala.
It may be just wanting to pass something on or get rid of something, and I say I'm giving you a gift, but no kusala.
No kusala.
So it depends on the motivation, right?
As long as it's useful for the receiver, it's all right, because you see that it's useful.
But if I give $100 bribe in order to get a project or something, then it's not kusala, right?
Bribe is bribe, akusala.
Right. So, as you said, it comes down to what is giving. Giving is a moment of kusala.
For the benefits of the receiver only.
Okay, of the receiver only.
So I will not give this paper to anyone. No one...
It's got a cough sweet in it.
Only paper like this. Useless, see?
Yes.
But if I give this, it's useful.
So one is giving, one is dana, alopa, and the other is...
Cool. If you give this, it's not dana, not for anyone's benefit.
Correct. But if you give
the one with the cough syrup in it, it's dana, if it's for someone's benefit.
Right.
So can we distinguish by way of
saying that one giving for the other's benefit or and giving for one's own benefit.
What's the intention?
If for bribe is for one's own benefit?
If it's not bribe, but for your own welfare or the result of kusala.
So there must be giving also at that moment.
Generosity.
No, if you give with the idea that you will go to heaven, that's still giving. But it's preceded and followed by attachment.
It's like buying, exchanging. So just a moment of kusala and lots of akusala.
To say is it dana or not, it depends on the intentions of the giver. But you say like you just give a piece of paper, usually it's not dana.
Okay, I give you. Get it.
But what if I can use that for some purpose?
It depends.
And also, I remember one time
here in Vietnam, we had a joke because by mistake I gave an empty one to a jam. But actually, the intention was it was giving because I thought it had a cough sweet in, but it didn't. So it all comes back to the intention at each moment.
So it's like also when you given something like for the wine, you give somebody the wine, because you want something for them to enjoy, or you don't think about the poison or something. It's just giving it just dana.
But quite a long time ago, I read something about the 10 punya karya vatu, and I don't know exactly whether it comes from the commentary or not, but it seems that it was. And it said that poisons, humans, or like wine, or the alcohol, are not considered gift. Weapons.
Does it not depend on intention?
So if I give wine to someone for intoxication, that would not be
a gift? It might be useful for that person.
Okay, it's, if it's for medicine.
No, even enjoy.
It's for enjoy?
Yeah.
So in which case, that would not be a gift?
Why not? Because you think of the person who received to be happy, like any kind of gift. But you have the intention for him to be drunk and kill and do good. Yeah.
Okay. So if you want that,
it's then like anything. You give someone a sharp
kitchen knife, the intention is for them to use it in the kitchen, but if they use it to cut their throat, but that's not the intention at all.
It's like dinner at someone's home and taking a bottle of wine as a gift. The intention is for them to enjoy it, not to get drunk and be abusive.
You're just two people, and they're just two people, and you take a crate of whiskey. That might be as a different story.
There was a.
But what about just one sip at a time until it's gone?
Are you taking a year's supply?
It's moments of giving are followed by moments of giving.
Just one sip at a time. who knows? See, it depends on kusala moment and akusala moment. No one there.
For myself, I would always like going to someone's house. I would always find some other gift that's just my way, because it's like something else to consider, but it all comes down to the intention. And even the gun, one of the waiters at the hotel where we were staying in Bangkok, he said his hobby at weekends is to go to shooting practice. He loves to shoot. That's his hobby. It's his sport. So if one were to give him a gun for his shooting practice, just again, depends on the intention at the time.
And he may just love to shoot, so
to be accurate and hit a target. He may have no interest whatsoever in killing anything.
I had difficulty with
this whole idea before, and then when we were in Norelia, we were talking about the Sotapanna who gave her husband, handed him the bow or the arrow or something, and I thought, oh, this is strange. And then later I mentioned that, you know, 3 or 4 times a year I go with friends to the church nearby to serve at a tea for seniors, and it's my intention to go and be of help and make a pleasant afternoon for seniors. And Jonathan pointed out quite correctly that other people could perceive that as going and being supportive of and promoting wrong view, Christian views. And suddenly,
just have I realized it's not support.
That's
wrong,
right.
Understanding at all.
Right. And my intention is to give, yes. And it's interesting. So if you're able to think of an example that you're involved in, it suddenly becomes clearer.
Supporting a bad monk, but sometimes you just support it as a human being.
Or as a member of the Sangha.
Yes.
Yeah, there was an example of that. I believe it's in the Suttimagga, about a monk who came to this fellow's house and he asked him for a spade. And the man knew that the monk really shouldn't have a spade. I'm trying to remember now exactly, but he really, very rudely and reluctantly gave the monk the spade. And the people commented to him that you were very respectful before to this fellow, but now you're very rude to him. And he pointed out that that at that time before, when he was had rather a reputation, this monk, but he said earlier on he was a member of the Sangha, but this time he was an individual monk. So it was different moments again. Yeah, and different types of behavior.
The point in the example about giving to a bad monk, for example, like if one were to give money to a bad monk, yes, it is the intention that's important, but one has to realize that it's wise and foolish giving, and it's not a helpful gift to that monk in any way because of the repercussions and the results that will occur for that monk by accumulating that habit of collecting money. So it doesn't mean that the citta is not kusala, but one has to know to give wisely, just like you don't give your child a bundle of sweets because it's not useful.
With the same consideration, one can make the decision not to give wine as a gift. or not sell wine in one restaurant, for example. Not a rule, but if
you knew someone was an alcoholic or had a particular problem, then you wouldn't give that person.
But we also know that even it's not alcoholic, the tendency is accumulated. The same, like when you said the monk, if he accumulates the habit of receiving money, it's not of his good benefit. So I'm not saying that it's a rule, but it's also something that can be part of our consideration as well. When
do you think that if you don't sell alcohol, that person will not be able to get alcohol elsewhere? He would. So you're having no effect in reducing his tendency if you don't sell.
Well, she would say the same for the monk. If you don't give that monk money, someone else will give the monk money. But so it's
just in the case of the alcohol. They're selling alcohol.
Otherwise, I have to answer.
Sarah is already mentioned it.
So, you believe that you should avoid giving alcohol because that is likely to form the other person, he forms a habit of drinking, and therefore if you don't drink, you're avoiding that situation?
I think it's not a rule, like just a personal decision. Like by not selling alcohol, maybe it's a way to tell that alcohol is not
I don't think so. You're not telling anything. By not selling alcohol, you're not sending out any message.
Depends on the intention, right?
So how is the message given to the other person if you don't sell alcohol?
They can come and ask why you're not selling alcohol.
So you're not selling, why would they come and ask why you're not selling alcohol?
But, I mean, it's if you have restaurant, other restaurants have alcohol, right? And you are not selling alcohol, then people
right.
might ask.
So you would tell, and
yes.
And the chances, if he wants to drink, he'll go somewhere else.
Yes. So it depends on the other person, but it's up to anyone to do what you feel what is proper, and that is dependent.
Right. I'm not saying that you do. You're not your part. You want to sell, you sell. You don't want to sell, you don't sell. But the message. What you're saying is you do it with this and that consequence. I think that part is something you're just trying to... Huh? What do you say?
Suspect.
Yeah.
Oh, I said it was a story.
It's a story, yeah.
Like many other stories that we have in our life.
It's all story.
Yeah.
I think coming back to the Dan and Chaga,
it's the same reality. It's used in different contexts, just like Tanha and Lobha is used in different contexts, and whatever the context, it has to refer to the Kusala Chitta, that's for sure, not a situation or a sort of general idea about liberality, but it has to be the Kusala Chitta at that moment.
And it is only speculation with the idea of self, so it's just like any teaching.
Just like
any teachings, not the Buddha's teachings.
What is?
Because Buddha doesn't just teach to give or not to give, but what is it? To know that there's no self at all.
He never taught anyone to
give or do any good deed without understanding of reality at this moment as not self, not I or anyone who gives at all. Just Kusala Chitta for an instant and then gone. And no one can tell by the appearance, like one gives someone a gift, a shirt or anything. So many different cheetahs involved, one cannot say this is giving. Or like someone was talking about the how much giving there is in this country or another country, but it's just a speculation about a situation, because actually the giving just comes down to kusala cheetahs only.
And we all know
the best giving of all, of course, is sharing and appreciating the Dharma is most valuable, especially understanding Dharma's as anatta this moment.
So what's the purpose of the teachings of the Buddha? To understand the truth of whatever appears, because no one can teach about whatever is now as it is.
And the truth is that
a lot of what is taken for being kusala is akusala, so a lot of what is taken for being dana is attachment, a lot of what is taken for being kusala sila is akusala sila. So actually the truth is there's far more ignorance and attachment than ever imagined in a day.
And it's not just trying to find out whether it is kusala or akusala, but what is there? Even kusala, what is kusala, the nature of it? Otherwise there's the idea of self. That's why he taught for 45 years, because it's very difficult to have condition for direct understanding of whatever appears now. Akusala cannot understand that. And kusala, which is not the understanding, cannot understand either. So what is right understanding of panya? There are many realities right now, understanding or not understanding at all. That's why we need the words to condition right understanding of whatever it is. Not only name kusala or akusala, but the reality which is kusala or akusala, not self.
I just want to know why is the difference between giving to a normal person and giving to a sotapanna or anagami. Why does it bring different results?
Do you know who is sotapanna? So give to whom?
In our own thinking, we can think one person has more good qualities than another person. So we choose to give someone with good qualities. And that's different when we give to someone with bad qualities.
How do you know?
You mean how do you know their qualities, or how do you know it's different?
How we know that it's different? No, that's the question. No. I mean, is it?
How do you know the qualities
of the person?
As much as you can by association.
And is there any expectation for the result? To give to
there can be, yeah. There can be. Usually there is.
And is there more attachment
in that kind of giving, right? For sure.
But the question is, as I understand, so there is a difference though. right? And why is it different?
Because of understanding.
Of one's own understanding, is it?
Yes.
Yes.
When is consciousness
here? Who's asatapanna?
Very high level panya.
See? So it has to be your own understanding to whom you give.
But suppose I don't know. Like I just give you.
Yeah, because you, what Buddha taught is not to condition more attachment, but he taught about the truth of many degrees of wholesomeness and unwholesomeness. For example, without understanding, you give to the wrong one, and you thought that you gain lots of result from what Buddha taught to Asotapanna. But if you don't know who that person is, and you thought that the person is Asotapanna, see, it's not like that at all. Each word of the Buddha brings about understanding. The truth of moment of giving with attachment, expecting for the result or not, or just pure giving, just for the sake of the receiver. To understand the truth of each moment as it is, with attachment or with kindness, generosity, no expectation at all, or just give for this or that reason.
And I think it's a little bit like
metta. If metta is just to the particular one, for example, the family member or the person one thinks has a lot of understanding, or the one who has a nice smile, actually it's not metta, because the quality of metta is friendliness whenever there's an opportunity to whoever one is. Otherwise it's attachment for sure. And it's the same with giving. If it's just giving to the family member or to the person one thinks has a lot of understanding or the one with the nice smile, for sure it's attachment that's motivating it, not just giving when there's an opportunity at any time.
I understand that, but like when you're just giving for the sake of giving and you don't know who is Sotapanna or normal people, but just like the one you give is a Sotapanna or who's...
Mm. Like when one have no idea who's one's giving to. It just happened to be a Sotapanna or a Arahata, like we read in the sutta. And then is it explained that because of that giving, that the result was such and such. So I think the question is what is the virtue that makes the object that's giving, makes that the result of that giving is higher than the other result? I think that is the question.
Sotapanna will not do any ill deeds anymore.
Yes. So, do you mean like, I don't know if it's in the Mihinda Panha? But it is said that this is like sowing the seeds into...
It's only thinking about situation. But when time comes, who know? At that very moment.
Can you say more, please?
Yes. Two persons, same situation. One is bad and one is good. To whom do you give?
Depending who. It depends. Cannot say in advance.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Until time comes. But if even the time hasn't come yet, just think about the good one and the bad one. Same situation, hardship, illness, or whatever. And you have just a little thing to give to whom you'll give.
You mean they are in the same situation,
exactly.
Right? I think you'd like to give to the one that inspires more sympathy. It can happen to be a good one or a bad one.
Will you save the bad one?
Depends. Sometimes that bad one might inspire more
So you save the bad one.
Cannot know. It depends on
to
the...
To continue to live in that way. What about the one who's good and who can help the others? His life is so very beneficial. Like Buddha's, to give to him or to the others when he's very sick. So it's not just thing to think about, it's the understanding. And the best understanding is to understand the moment at the very moment as not I at all. Otherwise there must be for I to give or to have benefit, whether to know whether it's dana or jaga all the time. More than 100,000 situations to think about.
I don't mean like doing dana just for oneself, or just one because of this person that I can get like more merit from. I don't think about that. It just I wonder why is there a difference.
Do you know what will happen?
Because I just read that in some cases, because even somebody they don't know that they give to the Sotapanna.
They don't know it's
they don't know the Buddhist.
Another story?
This is back to the complexity of karma, so one has no idea what the result of different moments or different deeds will be, because the complexity, like the, as you say, they may not know that it is the Buddha and the result is so great. But this is the way it is, like the example of Chunda giving that last meal and the result is so great of that, giving that particular meal compared to other meals during the life of the Buddha. But why? Because of this is just the way it is.
And any particular reason
why chaga rather than dana is used in certain
every moment ways? Is not permanent.
So why chaga not dana?
Yeah. It can condition any situation, but not permanent at all.
Mm.
What life? Each life.
Right. But for example, when, like if we read about chaganusati, any reason why it's chaga, not danusati?
Different conditions for every moment, no matter in what life.
Okay.
To letting go the idea of self.
Like we discussed before,
just like why tanha and sam points and why lobha and others, so why chaga and why dana, actually same reality, but just depends on the classification or the way it's used in at different times, or so many words for panya.
So manta is panya, right?
Manta.
Manta.
Manta as in like mantra.
Manta.
Manta is Pali term and mantra is Sanskrit.
But that's the one you mean, the mantra.
So what's the meaning of mantra?
To repeat, to say it.
Only one meaning? Or does it also mean panya?
I think it means repeating with.
No, because there is two words, the noun and the verb. Yeah. So what is the meaning of mantra? Mantra. Can you look it up? Because in Thai, in Thailand, they use the term suat mon. And suat is like sakacha. See? About right understanding. Otherwise, it's useless to suat. Sword in Thai.
Mon is what the monks do.
Yeah, just reciting, chanting. Yeah, but I'd like to understand the word, the meaning of mantra.
So
I thought
mon is mantra, right?
Because the O in Pali is A, like mantra, not monta. But the Thai use it different, so we use mon for mantra.
Sutta mon means reciting the sutta.
Well, it refers particularly to the daily chanting that monks do in the temple.
And chanting is reciting the discourse, mm-hmm. what happens times ago, mm-hmm. about what.
So that's what I thought it meant, this reciting. So, but from what I understood you were saying, Ajahn, I thought you were saying it was somehow equated with panya.
To think over it again and again.
Ah, I see yeah. what you're saying.
Otherwise, it's useless. It's like parrots.
I see,
not understanding anything at
all.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying now.
So I'd like to understand the meaning of mantra. It concerns with panya.
If it's to be kusala, it would have to be with panya. It's not that it leads to panya.
Just like what you said earlier one time, Ajahn, when you said people to say buddho, buddho, buddho. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No that, understanding.
No, that could be said to be mantra, but it's, yeah.
I remember I looked up in the text, actually there weren't many references to mantra like there's one in the Dhammapada, so clearly only referring to kusala cheetahs with panya at that time of repeating or reciting, obviously, otherwise it's not mantra as used by
the
Buddha.
Can it mean panya too? This is another word for panya, so many words, like samadhi and so on. Can you read that?
I've only seen it with reference to reciting.
Another word for panya or what?
Well, I've never heard it as a synonymous word for panya. But the word you used today was vimansa.
Even Veda means sotapattimakkhasi sometimes. Yeah, so it's not limited.
Like in the Dhammasangha, anywhere one has all the words for panya, but I don't think it has mantra. I haven't seen mantra. Have you seen
somewhere,
mantra?
So that's somewhere. Why I'd like
to
know.
Find out, yeah. Right.
And I think
the point or the concern is that people are so interested in reciting anywhere, here or there, and they just think of repeating the words or the stanzas or the suttas, but usually without any understanding, just think interested in reciting the Pali, but actually it's meaningless and they don't understand what mantra is. I think this is the point.
I know we get the Sanskrit word mantra, which we notoriously relate to somebody just repeating something again and again. So, and I think the root of the word man just means to think. To think, relating to the mind, man, relating to the mind. But
it sounds like mana or mana, but actually it's another different word, mantra.
Yeah, but mantra, right? That's mantra means
the
same thing.
What's this mantra?
Well, this is the general dictionary, it says a word or sound that you did to aid concentration in meditation.
Mantra.
Mantra.
What about mantra?
I cannot find that. I mean, I found one M-A-N-T, but it's a totally different word meaning.
Because usually in Thailand they think that mantra is like what you said, but actually comes from mantra in Pali. Because there are so many words which means panya, vicha, panya, samadhi, and also mantra, I think.
I just had one topic that Nina might like to discuss just before you go. We talked about a bit kanti with pleasant and unpleasant objects. Would you like to discuss anything about kanti with pleasant objects? Because we always think about kanti with unpleasant objects, like when we feel tired or when things are difficult or when we're waiting a long time for the van. Or
always good.
Then it's a kanti. So what about kanti with pleasant objects? Do you have any thoughts?
So not to be absorbed too much in the pleasant objects, because then we tend to be forgetful that there is no one there, no person or no thing, and that only the present moment is important.
When it's unpleasant object because we don't like it, so then we think it's so important to have kanti, but when it's pleasant object and we're enjoying it so much, like when eating the food or something like this, then usually we're not concerned or bothered about having kanti. So, kanti at any
time. I think when an object is unpleasant, we tend to be impatient or have dosa instead of understanding conditions, that it is all conditions and only one moment and just gone immediately, which is the most important thing.
And when it's pleasant object, also impatient, because just following the lobha and enjoying the pleasant feeling and no patience, no for understanding at that moment. Usually we don't think of such times when there's lots of lobha and attachment. We don't see that this is a problem or necessary time for kanti too.
It all comes down not to forget to understand the present moment.
Only that.
And even now, while we're having a Dhamma discussion, so often just lost in our own thinking about what may happen, or will it be dark, or will I have something to drink, or so many stories any time, but actually at this moment, just sound that's heard, just visible object that's seen, just the world in a moment, one moment at a time. No one there at all, just a moment of seeing, no matter here or in Bangkok or in Holland or anywhere, just seeing at this moment, no matter old or young or with or whether there's been or not been understanding, still it's just the world of seeing at this instant, life existing just in one moment now.
So, when and what is the most difficult kanti?
It's no rule really. Very personal, but when I'm afraid to fall down.
For everyone.
That's
the most difficult kanti.
When people are afraid of death, to die, maybe.
More than that. More difficult than that.
Yes. More difficult than that. Akusala.
I'm having trouble thinking of the name, but the kanti of the Eightfold Path. Yeah.
I think it's the kanti of the present moment that just not trying to grasp anything, but just allowing the present moment to be, or the kanti for the present moment, understanding the present moment.
To understand reality as not self.
To understand reality as not self is the most difficult kanti.
Yeah.
We cling to the self and we forget.
All paramis for enlightenment, the truth of reality as the self.
Yes, I was going to say it's most difficult when there is such strong clinging to
reality as self, because at that moment no understanding, no kanti of Dharma as anatta.
Even it's not as wrong any moment. Like now, see, that's wrong.
Still any kanti of reality as not self.
To go against the current of attachment and aversion.
Yeah, there is a few references to manta. Or so manta, noun, is a charm, a spell, an incantation. And you've got the word mantajayika, one who studies the holy incantations. A mantana is, or mantana, the feminine, consultation or discussion. Manti is a counselor, a minister, or you know, you get the female version of that. A mantu, one who imagines, and the verb manteti, to consult, to take counsel, to discuss, and so on. You've got the past here. So it's possible, Ajahn, that it can also mean relating to wisdom, because certainly when you think of some of the contexts of those words, it's possible to imagine that.
Padamanta, one who masters the Vedas in Buddhist sense, one who excels in wisdom.
What was it called?
Manta. Yeah, manta. In this sense, by the SYS dot, whatever that means, always explained by Panya. Example, as manta in SNA 549. Sanghutiya.
Awesome.
Mantaya parigahitva. Or paragu, one who is accomplished in the Vedas.
Which dictionary is it?
It's Pali English dictionary, Pali online, English, yeah.
But since there is no understanding, they just recite and think that that's the way to have panya, right understanding. So it's wrong from the very beginning, just reciting. But anyone who recites is not just like parrot, but there must be the understanding of the word as reminder or more understanding by considering.